With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. Of course, we're here on a Saturday morning, but tomorrow morning at 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 Pacific, wake up with a special early edition of the NFL on CBS from London, featuring the Dolphins and the Jaguars. Then it's an NFL on CBS doubleheader with a full slate of games, including the Chargers taking on the Ravens. And in the late afternoon window, Dak and the Cowboys are on the road against Belichick's Patriots. That's all coming up tomorrow. The NFL is on CBS. Last weekend, we talked a little bit about John Gruden. But, you know, it was just the first email that was out at that time regarding John Gruden. You know, it was a just the initial email about DeMaurice Smith. And I'm kind of surprised that that wasn't bigger than it was. Maybe it's because the players defended him, because we did discuss on the show last week that it might come down to the players. But that was, you know, when I read that initially, I was, ugh, that he would say that. And maybe it's because people bought Gruden's defense when he said, you know, the thing about, like, he calls people rubber lips if they're liars or something. I don't know. Maybe it's just because people like Gruden. I mean, and I think that's one of the reasons for something as obvious as this story was, that you'd even still have people defend him. You have a couple of reasons why they might still defend him. One, they see themselves in him, right? You know, and anybody's like, if you go through all of my, your own emails, see what you find. Well, you ain't going to find what John Gruden wrote in my emails. I can promise you that. So maybe that's people telling on themselves a little bit, or they identify with him in some way. The other is that, you know, he was likable. Frank Caliendo did the impression. He, you know, has been on people's TVs for decade plus, right? Monday Night Football, whatever other shows he did on ESPN. So people liked him. It wasn't Urban Meyer who should have thanked his lucky stars that the John Gruden thing went down. By the way, the NFL, according to the AP, you know, no other offensive emails were found in this investigation from people that are still employed there. We'll see. You know, I people are going to be skeptical about that because the NFL didn't release all this stuff and Gruden was sort of the fall guy for everything. But, you know, we talked about Gruden last week and I was surprised that the DeMaurice Smith thing didn't have more of a... It's almost like whoever leaked those emails thought the DeMaurice Smith thing was going to get him out of the paint, and it didn't. And they were like, oh, all right, fine, here's these, and leaked the rest of them. Because, you know, you have to know, or you should know, because I even had people text me, like, why is it racist to say that about his lips? You have to understand the history in the background there of, you know, portrayals of black people in this country, you know, minstrel programming and the like, and the idea of pointing out the size of a black person's lips or nose, especially in that derogatory fashion that Gruden did, I mean, it should speak for itself. But then these other emails come out, and, I mean, he's running the gamut, right? I mean, this dude did the offensive Olympics, basically checking off every group that you could check off and said something. And, you know, I almost just, like, picture him, like, smashing his keyboard with, I mean, the way it was so, the way those words and those insults left his fingertips so freely and easily. I mean, that's the kind of thing that, you know, he's saying that sort of stuff all the time. All the time. Especially if he thinks it's private. And, of course, he did think his emails were private, but they're not anymore. And those are the breaks. So, you know, like, I know, you know, immediately people started to say, like, Gruden was a victim of cancel culture. John Gruden was not a victim of cancel culture. John Gruden faced consequences. He wasn't a victim of cancel culture. Now, if you want to say, like, the stuff that's happened since then, this is the stuff that I think rubs people the wrong way. Like, the Buccaneers removing him from the Ring of Honor. Was anybody actually, like, thinking about the Buccaneers Ring of Honor and whether John Gruden was in it? No. You know, or Madden scrubbing him from the game and all that stuff. Though he's not the coach of the Raiders, so I guess I could update, you know, if Madden updated it so he's just not the coach of the Raiders, that would make sense. But going back and erasing him from history, whatever, that you could argue is cancel culture, and that could be the kind of thing that rubs people the wrong way and makes people defend someone like Gruden when there's no reason to actually defend them. They're defending him because they don't like the way things have gone. And I certainly don't like the practice of digging up one's past to find something to hold against them or say, gotcha, or one previous mistake or, you know, something like that, defining somebody or costing them their career. I don't like that either. I hate that. And there's these, you know, I call them micro controversies every day about nothing online. It's funny because you see the uproar over the Dave Chappelle special right now. But one of the lines from that special is, you know, he's like, I saw I was getting dragged on Twitter and I don't care because Twitter's not a real place. But so many of these companies, I think personally, overreact to what Twitter says because of a reflection of like the actual number of people that is not that many. And a lot of this stuff, I think if they just were willing to let it blow over, would blow over. Not the stuff that deserves to be addressed, but the stuff that I think is an overreaction online. But people are so sensitive to what might be said on Twitter or not. In Gruden's case, though, it's like, come on. I mean, it seems to me like somebody had an axe to grind with him, or, you know, you could have a conspiracy theory that they wanted the Gruden stuff out there to take the attention off the rest of these emails. I mean, look, Roger Goodell would have reason to want Gruden out. One, not wanting an employee of the league, you know, or somebody that works or represents the league, you know, to have said that stuff. But also, I mean, he directly insulted Roger Goodell. But once they became public, it was a no-brainer. He had to go. I mean, that was... John Gruden knew that. Right? I mean, the guy resigned within... What was it? An hour? You know? Of the second batch of emails? Even John Gruden knew he had to go. I mean, it was all over the place. There's no... You know, there's no way he could stay and recover from that. And, you know, these, first of all, they were over a number of years. It wasn't just like however many years ago, like the initial one. Secondly, even if it was 10 years ago, John Gruden was 48 years old 10 years ago. We're not talking about, you know, when he was a teenager and then now he's an adult, or even when he was in his 20s. And now he's in his 30s. He was darn near 50 years old when that first email was sent. So, I mean, the what happened with Gruden once the emails got out there was inevitable. I was actually a little surprised, like I said, that first one wasn't bigger. Because when I saw the one about the Morris Smith, I thought that might be the end of him. And that one seemed like he was gonna be able to get past. But once that second drop happened, it was over for Gruden. As far as, like, the ramifications of that, though, to me, that's, you know, was kind of the end of his story or that story. You know, he got rightfully fired, as he should, and then you move on. We'll see how the rest of this NFL email saga unfolds, if they're able to, you know, say that there's nothing else in these emails and move forward with their investigation internally, or how much pressure there may be on the NFL to release the rest of the emails, because I've definitely seen that. I've seen a lot of calls for the rest of those emails to be released. We'll see. But the one thing is for sure is, you know, John Gruden's coaching career is over. His broadcasting career probably over too, other than, well, there's certain outlets I'm sure that would hire him. But, you know, it, as far as like game broadcast, because this happened when he was working for ESPN. And think about how awkward that was for ESPN this week, and they seemed to neglect to mention that in most of the coverage that I saw, that he was an ESPN employee when he was sending a lot of these emails. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227, at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. That's RobinLundberg. It's just, it is kind of funny that an investigation into the Washington football team is what wound up ending John Gruden. The Associated Press, this is the tweet that I referenced before. The NFL has found no other current personnel that have sent emails with racist, homophobic, or misogynistic language like those written by John Gruden that led to his resignation as Las Vegas Raiders coach. A person familiar with the documents told the AP. So there will be those who say release all the emails. But there's also, you know, words do a lot, right? They say nobody, they sent emails with that kind of language written by John Gruden. That doesn't mean nobody sent an email they shouldn't have sent, or nobody sent an email that makes them look shady, right? Like, there's a difference between sending hateful language or using slurs and saying something that you shouldn't say over official business. So we'll see how that story actually unfolds. We'll see how, you know, much fallout or how invested people are in it. But obviously the Gruden story was a big one this week. And it's one of those, you know, there are two stories in sports that, you know, I call them almost like CSPN stories. They're CNN and ESPN stories. And one was obviously what happened with John Gruden. The other is what happened with Kyrie Irving. And I'll get to Kyrie a little bit later in the program here today. Been talking about the Astros for much of the morning and how we need to admit at this point that they're awesome. But the Gruden thing led to a lot of like offshoot discussions, right? As sometimes these things do. But there was an initial reaction that I saw, and the first place I saw it was either Jason Whitlock or Clay Travis, if not both, immediately took what happened with John Gruden and then started talking about the Super Bowl halftime show. And it really irritated me because I just don't know how in one's brain you go from John Gruden immediately to the Super Bowl halftime show. And basically the point was that why would Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre and Eminem and everybody else that's performing on the Super Bowl halftime show that has lyrics that may be misogynistic or homophobic or whatever be allowed to perform if John Gruden's getting fired? And just the leap there is staggering to me, to make that leap. And I find it disingenuous. You know, I find it an attempt to misdirect or deflect from the John Gruden story. It almost seems to me as a way to, like, you know you can't defend John Gruden. You kind of want to. You know you can't. So instead of defending him, you just start talking about something other than him. But what about this? You know, there's a propaganda technique called whataboutism. And actually, I believe it originated in Russia. And it's essentially the technique is when you're talking about one issue instead of talking about that issue, you say, what about some other thing? That you could make the case is sort of tangentially related or points out a hypocrisy in the issue you're talking about, but gets you off the issue you're talking about. And the term whataboutism led to some controversy with the morning show in New York City on WFAN. Obviously, CBS Sports Radio, WFAN, we're same company, owned by the same company. So sisters, brothers, whatever you want to call it, related stations. And on, was it Wednesday morning? I believe it was. I got a tweet, I think, alerting me to something that was being said on the morning show in New York, Boomer and Geo, which prompted me to call in to said show to defend myself. So here's what we're going to do. In radio, there's something called time spent listening. I'm going to ask for some time spent listening right now. You know, it's always good in ratings and returns when you get good time spent listening, meaning like people aren't just like turning you on and turning you off. They're actually listening to you. They're, you know, staying through their commute or, you know, staying through the commercial break and all that stuff. So I'm going to ask for some time spent listening. Coming up next, I'm going to play my call-in to the morning show in New York to discuss the call-in to defend myself from those guys. It was me against basically the crew, but their producer, Al Dukes, specifically. And we had a conversation that then turned to the Super Bowl halftime show. Then I'm going to want to hear from you at 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. So I'm going to ask for that commitment. Coming up next, I'm going to play the interaction I had with the morning show in New York, and then we're going to get your reaction to that interaction. It's the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
Prediction, those menacing keys from Still DRE will be played at the Super Bowl halftime show. How did John Gruden become about the Super Bowl halftime show? That's what I was wondering. When I tweeted Al Dukes, who produces the morning show on WFAN in New York City on, I believe, whatever after the John Gruden thing happened, he tweeted something about people are just wondering why they'd allow that Super Bowl halftime artist to perform who have said stuff, you know, that's misogynistic and homophobic, but they'll fire John Gruden, whatever. And I said, nobody's actually wondering that. That's whataboutism. And then I received notification from a fan that I was being talked about on Boomer and Geo, the morning show on WFAN, and they were talking about whataboutism based on my tweet. And I felt they were misrepresenting what I meant in their discussion. So I had to call in and defend myself. Remember, this is a whole morning show crew. It was just me. So you're going to hear that conversation, and then I want to hear from you at 855-212-4227. But here you go.
It is Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I was just introduced to this term. Maybe I'm behind the times. I mean, I'm 39 years old. Sometimes I feel like I'm older than that. But whataboutism, which is something that a talk show host on CBS Sports Radio, also Sports Illustrated, you can see his videos if you go to his Twitter account. That's Robin Lundberg, and I'll give his Twitter account at Robin Lundberg a pop as well. He said to Al, when Al was fighting about this whole John Gruden stuff yesterday, and it was confusing to me, so Robin Lundberg was listening, or someone texted him that was listening, or whatever it was, and he has called to defend himself.
We got a former Terp on the line?
He is?
Yes.
All right, very, very good.
I like it.
You've got one supporter in here, at least. Robin, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. You know, my problem here is that I'm being misrepresented.
Okay.
You know, I did say that it was whataboutism in reference to the halftime show, because I believe Al had tweeted out something along the lines of people are just wondering, you know, why John Gruden's fired, but they're allowing these artists to perform at the halftime show. And whataboutism is a propaganda technique where if somebody's talking about something, instead of talking about the issue at hand, you go, what about this? And I just don't think anybody was talking or thinking about the actually halftime show with, you know, in a genuine fashion. I don't think anybody was actually wondering why Dr. Dre or Snoop or Eminem are performing. They are artists. There's a different standard there. They're not employees of the NFL. I'm with you guys on the Buccaneers thing. I think the Ring of Honor thing is performative. You know, I don't think John Gruden was a victim of cancel culture. I think, you know, obviously he meant for that stuff to be private, but he sent it in work email. It got out there. The guy had to be fired after that. But that's the end of it. He's fired, you move on. All this other stuff is the stuff that I think rubs people the wrong way, because that is kind of cancel culture. Let's go back and undo everything he ever did. And then you do have other players who have done heinous things or you know, participated in things that don't deserve to be honored, and they're still there. So I wouldn't use that term to apply it to the Bucks Ring of Honor situation. I just was annoyed about the halftime show.
Okay, and I do think that Al's message got a little bit jumbled yesterday and what he was trying to say. When you called in to Carton and Roberts, I listened to this yesterday, you explained it in a fashion that also turned Evan Roberts into agreement with you. Can you explain it the same way here to see if maybe what you were trying to say yesterday isn't whataboutism?
I think it was just said to Evan was that nobody is trying to cancel Snoop, Dre, and Eminem. I want their music on Spotify. If I like it, I listen. If I don't like it, I don't listen. But in the same way, if the NFL announced that at halftime, Andrew Dice Clay was going to do nursery rhymes, my guess is that would raise an eyebrow with people, and they'd say that doesn't go with the NFL being a safe place, that they're trying to make it a safe place for women, homosexuals, and all races and genders, right? And now you're going to put up artists who have songs called Bitches Ain't Blank, and a lot of their songs are homophobic, misogynistic, which, again, I'm okay with as an artist. But you're putting them on your largest stage, which is the Super Bowl halftime show. That is a huge stage. And the NFL is aiming to give their product to women, children, all genders. You can't. They don't go together. Right. And people were wondering about it, because all afternoon on all sorts of sports debate and radio shows, it was talked about.
But is that because Clay Travis and Jason Whitlock immediately threw it out there? I mean, like,
maybe.
I hear what you're trying to say, but I would say, you know, as far as the halftime show goes, those guys aren't going to be performing anything like that.
Great. And you know what? And John Gruden, when he's coaching, isn't going to be using racial and homophobic slurs.
But John Gruden's the leader of that organization,
right,
and an employee for the NFL. And on top of that, you know, I know a lot of people who would make that same argument would use a slippery slope argument. And if you're going to use the slippery slope argument, then you have to take away everything. Nothing can ever be associated with the NFL. 5% of all deaths in the world are alcohol related, right? For working age men. So alcohol can't sponsor the NFL because you could die. I mean, like, at that point, you have to uncover every rock and every stone. So I just thought the halftime show point was a little asinine. While I agree, like I said, with the Ring of Honor point, I think that is a much more applicable situation. You're closer to apples to apples.
So just because they're not going to do Bitches Ain't Blank, they should still be able to perform other songs.
Are we going to go through the history of every halftime show?
Yeah, go ahead.
And look at everything they've ever said or everything they've ever done?
Yes.
Off the field?
Yeah.
Well,
Bruce Springsteen, Tom Petty, Rolling Stones. I mean, if you want to.
Done anything untoward in their career? Or
you're the one who brought it up. You tell me. You tell me.
Oh yeah, you know what? Drug use. Drug use is bad for kids, right?
Okay.
But the Rolling Stones got to perform, so we should erase that performance from history because they lived a party lifestyle that would encourage kids to do drugs.
Would you want Andrew Dice Clay doing nursery rhymes at halftime? Is
that
cool?
Let's not pretend Andrew Dice Clay is culturally relevant. To the same way.
Neither is Snoop Dogg, by the way. Snoop Dogg hasn't had a hit in years.
He's on TV every day.
Yeah.
He's on TV every day.
Yeah, with Martha Stewart. He's a joke of what he used to be.
Now, I think you...
Actually, I think it shows how far his image and career has changed.
All right, one second here.
Because go from Murder Was the Case to Martha Stewart, and that is
embarrassing.
Well, all right, one second here, because I think we're getting lost again in, like, artists and everything else. Is your problem not with the NFL, Al, when they're pretending to be something and then they're not consistent with it?
Yeah, my problem is just the consistency with it. So it's not a whataboutism. It's still in under the umbrella of the NFL, and the NFL is portraying themselves as an all-inclusive thing. You then cannot bring on under your umbrella, under Roger Goodell, under the biggest television show of the year, you cannot put that under your umbrella. They're under your umbrella now. And if you want to go to the thing about the drinking and gambling, that's cool too. I'm cool with that as well. But
then you can't do anything, like I said.
But you can.
The reason they're under the umbrella is the partnership that the NFL has.
But the NFL's not out there telling people not to drink. And I think that's what Al is saying. Like, they're saying, all right, we're not going to accept this over here, but we're going to accept this over here. You know, the NFL for a long time, you know, they're hypocritical about gambling because, you know, for a very, very long time, they wouldn't even talk about it. They wouldn't touch it, whatever. And all of a sudden it became big business and they're all in. And you go to a Cowboys game and there's FanDuel and DraftKings all over the place. So I just think it's the consistent message. When you're saying, oh, you can't do anything, no, it's not that. The NFL themselves is using core values.
Let's be honest. John Gruden committed the offensive Olympics, right?
I mean,
like he was doing, I'm against the principle of going back and finding something in somebody's past to use against them, or one previous mistake defining someone's life or costing them their career. But when you're blasting the commissioner of the league in an email, when you're saying the stuff he did, John Gruden knew. You know, that's the reason.
Yeah, we all agree with that.
No one's defending Gruden.
Yeah, nobody's defending him. Yeah.
So, but then if you go to that other argument, then you're going to have to go to everything because there's something you could find to get rid of everything. When you're talking about Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre, you're referencing, I mean, the people who would defend Gruden would say these emails were how many years ago? The Chronic came out in 1993. Doggy Style came out in 1994. Eminem's, you know, controversies were at 2000.
But they still perform those songs.
30 years from there.
They still, if you go see Eminem,
the Super Bowl.
Of course, okay, but if you go see Eminem today, you're getting all those lyrics.
Not the ones that have caused the most issue. No, he's not. He's not going to drop certain bombs in a performance. He's just not. Because the times have changed, and then they adapted their performance as a result. They're not NFL employees. They're using artistic freedom. It's like, you know, Dave Chappelle. Does anyone want to get rid of Dave Chappelle from Netflix? Yeah, you got people doing that. He's a comedian. He's expressing his art. He's using terms.
But would the NFL use Dave Chappelle?
I'm not arguing about Dave Chappelle.
Super Bowl pregame.
Specifically the NFL. That's it. I'm not for getting rid of artists or getting rid of people. I guess I
don't understand how one's brain could go from the John Gruden situation within hours to Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre. It feels like an attempt. Like, that's why I said what about it, and that's why that particular point annoyed me, because it's just like an attempt to talk about something else when I don't really see the parallels there.
Okay, they're completely separate. Gruden's fired, deserves to be fired. The Super Bowl halftime show, I'm not referencing one that happened 10 years ago. It hasn't happened yet, so it's current. This is a current situation.
Such a problem, don't you think people would have brought it up in the first place? You know, as many activist groups as there are out there, as many people who get offended over every little thing.
Yeah.
You know, there's a micro controversy on a day-to-day basis that drives me insane because it makes you think, you know, the real situations are boy who cried wolf now because, you know, people are getting mad about everything. Don't you think if it was such a problem and people had, you know, a problem, these activist groups that fight for themselves all the time would stand up and say, no, Eminem can't perform at the Super Bowl. No, Snoop Dogg can't perform at the Super Bowl. No one was saying that.
They did.
Everybody wants to see them perform at the Super Bowl. Everybody wants to see it. I don't get the problem.
All right. Well have your kids listen to it.
All right. So the other thing I do want to say, though.
Maybe they'll perform Bitches Ain't Blank on Super Bowl.
Whatever. We got it.
That'd be awesome.
And Robin, you're expressing your viewpoint, I think, intelligently. And I appreciate it because, you know, being the Maryland guy that you are, I like what you're saying. But here's the thing. When you take into account taking John Gruden off of the Ring of Honor down in Tampa Bay, and then you compare it to the players that are playing for that team and players that are also in that Ring of Honor that have crossed their line, do you think that is a fair comparison?
Yes, I do. I don't think it's exactly the same, but I think it's fair to bring up because I thought the Ring of Honor thing is stupid. No one yesterday was like, oh, I wonder what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are doing about the Ring of Honor. No, like I said, John Gruden gets fired. We move on to the next thing. No one was asking them to go wipe away John Gruden. That's where people get the problem with cancel culture, and it makes people defend things that shouldn't be defended. It makes people defend what John Gruden or the next John Gruden does.
But no, but I see that's the thing. We're not, nobody here is defending. There might be others, but
I'm not saying you are. I'm saying that the Ring of Honor thing is the kind of thing that makes people do that, because the Ring of Honor thing is performative. It's the Buccaneers going, hey, look at us. We're being so self-righteous.
Yeah.
And then you guys, right, other people rightfully raise the point that, okay, Antonio Brown plays for the team. Warren Sapp played for the team. Whoever else, you know, I don't want to just single out. You could go on down the line. That's where, yeah, I'm with you there. I don't think that's the same thing as the Super Bowl.
But there is a big difference.
Show,
just
which
to
I thought
be,
was kind of an inane point.
Right. But there is a difference also here in regards to John Gruden, because if you go deeper into the emails with John Gruden, he also insulted the Glazer family, the owners of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So there is that level of disdain that I think John Gruden had for the owners of the Buccaneers, the Glazer family. So that also is part of the story here as to why they probably removed him when they read some of the things. And I wouldn't be surprised. There's a statue of him down there in their, I guess, in their headquarters or in the stadium.
We're gonna topple it. We're gonna topple it.
They're probably gonna pull the statue down. I bet you that's coming next.
Oh my goodness!
So there you have it,
Robin. What are you next?
Go ahead.
Send an email, you know, between each other and call Spike some names and see what happens.
Yeah, well, yes. I know, probably not. Wouldn't be a great idea. When are you back on CBS Sports Radio, Robin?
Saturday morning, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern. And like you mentioned at the top, you can catch me, Sports Illustrated, all their social platforms, SI.com every day.
All right, we appreciate the time this morning, Robin. Take care, right?
Thanks for having me, guys.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show.
Were people really thinking about the Super Bowl halftime show after John Gruden? Like, is that a real thing that people did? Taylor tweets in to me and Boomer Esiason. You just heard me on Boomer and Geo earlier this week. Boomer, I have such a hard time. He addresses Boomer directly, not me. Boomer, I have such a hard time thinking this Gruden stuff comes as a surprise to you with how long you've been in and around football. It's all just coming to light now. It seemed like it was a surprise to a lot of people. I mean, I don't think it would have been a surprise to anybody that John Gruden used colorful language, but I think the insulting fashion and ubiquitous fashion of said insults was surprising to a lot of people. Daniel in the ICT tweets, and I was thinking about the halftime show as soon as it was announced. I think it was the NFL was insane to put those performers on. I'm not going to watch that halftime show because the odds one of them does something offensive are extremely high. I mean, you're talking about parts of American pop culture now. I mean, like, you just heard so much drama in LBC. It's kind of hard being Snoop D-O-double-G. I mean, the music just playing right now. That's from 1994. I went to the Up and Smoke tour when I was in high school with these same performers, and I've been out of high school since 2000. That's 21 years ago. And the manifestation of this performance comes from Jay-Z being put in charge of the Super Bowl halftime show. Started with Shakira and J-Lo Weekend last year, and now this one. But it just boggles my mind that anybody would go from John Gruden to the halftime show. Personally, that just boggles my mind. Rich in Florida. Rich, you're up on the Robin Lundberg Show. What's going on?
Yeah,
what's up, Rich?
I was going to say, I mean, this thing with Gruden, I mean, it's just part of the whole situation that's completely out of control. Just completely out of control. And you're going to say something someday, you're going to be gone. And we might even think it's funny what you say, but some asshole is going to think it's offensive.
That's pretty ironic, I think. He probably got dropped for something he just said. Look, I understand the sentiment. I do. But here's the thing. You're not going to find anything I said like Gruden. And I do understand what you're saying, because I have to be careful with what I say, and it's not a fun thing to like worry about how anything you say could get you fired and all that stuff. That's not fun. And I also don't think, you know, a lot of these things that people, you know, get their job called for are fair, or, you know, small mistakes that shouldn't define you. But Gruden had to go. I mean, everybody should know that. It's not like they're making a mountain out of molehill with the Gruden stuff. The Gruden stuff is legitimately a fireable offense. He's sending it to the team president of an NFL team. He's an NFL coach, supposed to lead a team. He has black players, obviously. He has the first openly gay player in the NFL, and the stuff he's saying in those emails. I mean, Gruden had to go. Gruden himself knew he had to go. That's why he resigned as quickly as he did. So I don't think it's I understand people don't like the whole cancel culture thing, and it make like I think it almost makes them reactively defend Gruden, but there's no real defense for Gruden. Gruden couldn't keep his job. That doesn't mean you have to like banish him from society necessarily, but he couldn't keep his job. James in Dallas. James, you're up next on the show. What's up?
Hey, good morning. Good morning. I'm a very new listener about the last 3 or 4 weeks. Really enjoy your show. But
thank you.
Going back to the replay, you know, a term that you probably should have used with the gentleman, and I, forgive me, I don't, Boomer's the only one, and Geo, is deflection. He deflected. Mm-hmm. And what people don't understand, and let me just say this, I grew up in the 70s, or was born in the 70s, didn't grow up. So I was the first generation of Snoop, Eazy-E. You know, I grew up, I enjoy their music, but it's music. I'm not even going to comment on the comparison. John Gruden is a racist, period. That's all the discussion should be about. That's why we have to end it. That's why it has to be so brutal. It is brutal what happened to him, but he did it self-inflicted. That's what people need to understand. My father was white. My mother was Native American. I grew up being told, you know, you're a little too dark, but you're close enough because your daddy's white. So, and to compare what I went through to what a black man went through is no comparison. John Gruden's a racist. Music is music.
Theater. No, I understand, and that's why I said whataboutism. Same thing, misdirection, deflection, and I appreciate the call. What I would say is that, yeah, to me, if you go from John Gruden to the Super Bowl halftime show, it almost feels like you want to defend John Gruden, you just know you can't, so you go, well, look over here. And the people who have defended John Gruden or say, like, to me, almost it could be telling on yourself, too, if you don't think it's a go through anybody's email, see what you find. Well, are you talking about your own emails? Because you get I promise you I've said something I regret. I promise you that. I promise you I've done something I regret. I promise you that. But I also promise you could go through my emails. You ain't finding nothing like that. My personal email, my work email, any of my emails. Like, I promise you that as well. Yeah, that's part of it, too. How about Jeff in Ann Arbor? Jeff, you're up next here on the Robin Lundberg Show. What's going on?
Hey, Robin. Thanks for having me. So, you know, one thing that might be getting lost, I didn't think about the halftime show at all before, but one thing that might be getting lost is that I think that the NFL was trying to represent wanting to include black culture, which is why, you know, which is because for so long, the NFL has not been good to black people, and so now let's bring the music in. So I think it's a good thing.
Well, look, of course they are. Here's the long and short of it, right? Hip hop is the most popular form of music in the country, in the world, and it's been that way for a long time. But it's especially that way now. You're talking about people still treat rap and hip hop as if it's some new art form or it's some like fad, even to an extent. Again, The Chronic came out in 1993. You know, hip-hop was born in the Bronx in the probably late 70s. You know, really got a start in the early 80s and blew up. You know, Run DMC does the song with Aerosmith, blah, blah, blah. And, you just see it go and go and go to what it is today. But when the NFL cut the deal with Roc Nation, remember, they cut the deal with Roc Nation and Jay-Z a few years back, and it was a big controversial thing. Because it was in the midst of the Colin Kaepernick drama. And Jay had said something along the lines of, there's a piece of what he was saying that was taken and run with, where he said, we're past kneeling. And a lot of people took that and said, you know, Jay-Z's a sellout for saying that. When really what Jay-Z was saying in that meeting, if you listen to the whole clip, was the kneeling was bringing awareness. We have the awareness. What are we doing now about it? What are we doing about it? You know, I can tell you the things that I've done about it, and I'm trying to get stuff done about it. So the partnership was supposed to be in part to help the NFL with social justice, quote unquote, causes. but also, you know, to curate the music for the halftime show. And the first year of that was Shakira and J-Lo. The second year was The Weeknd. And now I think he's gotten to the point where, you know, they're comfortable enough to fully, you know, it shouldn't be a big deal that hip-hop artists are doing the Super Bowl again. Like, they've been around. I mean, Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg are the Rolling Stones, right? You know, like, you know, Jay-Z's getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame at the end of this month. I mean, he's the Beatles of the Rolling Stones of hip-hop. You know, it's not a new genre. And Snoop Dogg went from Murder Was the Case to Martha Stewart again. And as far as, like, entertainment, like, you know, they are performers, they are artists. Al Pacino said a lot of stuff in movies. People are going to, he can't do stuff because he was playing a character in a movie. So it just a ridiculous to me jump to go from John Gruden to the halftime show. And that was the point I was trying to make. And I hope I made it well. We can continue this discussion if you wish at 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. The Gruden topic, not the only heavy one from this week, though. Kyrie Irving sent home by the Brooklyn Nets. Give you my thoughts on that whole ordeal as well. But want to hear from you. 855-212-4227. It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.